two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective, oh. And did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy. Scatly-dee-bop, shabadooey. You revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Poof.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode
of Pork Therapy.
Yay.
Did you know we're actually like a genie in a bottle? We appear when you say poof.
We appear when
you rub
things.
Our lamp.
This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie.
And we are Pork Therapy.
Yes, we are.
What do we do?
We therapize porks. Actually, no, we're on the Liberty Radio Network, the LRN, and we're also on our website, which is porktherapy.com, porctherapy.com. And, of course, a porcupine is someone who loves freedom and liberty, right, and has moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project.
Porcupine, those cuddly little animals, they just love liberty.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Animals, can they love
porcupines?
This is a deep philosophical question.
Yeah, I think that's the episode of tonight's show. I mean, the theme of tonight's
the
episode or something.
Oh, that's good, Mike. I think we should say that every time. Yeah. Well, no, we're
tonight's
here.
Tonight's episode is an episode.
We are here because we like to talk about relationships from a liberty-oriented perspective, and we want to help, create a voluntary society where people get along with their neighbors and use techniques of good communication and the non-aggression principle,
non-aggression,
right?
Yep.
So, that's why we're here doing the show. And again, if you want to check us out, go to porktherapy.com.
If you want to send us your question about anything relationship-oriented, and this is any kind of relationship with anyone.
Yeah, right. Friends, family, business,
work, yeah.
Love.
Then you can send us a question at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes.
Or?
Or you can call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4. That's 419-PT-LOVE-4. Give us a call. It's not often that we get calls, but we actually did get a voicemail this morning, Mike. Although I think someone butt-dialed us because it was...
That's why.
It was within their pocket, I just heard a few background noises and...
Then it was gone.
Yeah. It was a fleeting interaction. But so we do have a question tonight, right?
Yes.
And would you like to read that
question? Okay, I suppose so.
We have a question from the Virgin Voluntarist.
Yes.
I like how he made up that name, too. It's always nice when people make up a creative name so we don't have to name them.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Is it Joe? Is it Betty? All right. His question is, first, I'd like to say how much I enjoy the show. Your banter is hilarious, and your kindness and concern for questioners is very touching. Pork therapy and libertarian philosophy in general have been very helpful tools for my self-improvement. That's good to hear.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, thank you.
And I also want to point out that I always love reading... this part of a question, if there is one, because it just makes
me
feel good.
The part where they rain compliments
on
us.
Yeah, I love that part.
Well, who doesn't, Mike?
Yeah. He says, my question requires a little bit of backstory. I'm a 24-year-old male and I'm socially awkward. I now understand that I developed this as a defense to the verbal and, on a few occasions, physical abuse that I suffered in school. The fat kid sitting by himself reading was attacked less than the fat kid desperately trying to fit in. However useful this armor was as a kid, it ill suits me now. Unfortunately, it has been a long time and is proving difficult to peel off. Should we comment on that or just read the whole letter and then comment?
Let's read the whole thing and then
comment,
yeah.
He says, I have yet to have sex, and more importantly, have yet to be in a serious romantic relationship. I'm glad he prioritized it that way.
Yeah,
yeah,
me too.
I have recently started dating, but this inexperience is making me very self-conscious. I feel... I fear, honestly saying, I'm a virgin, no, not for religious reasons, and on top of that, I've never had a girlfriend. For example, I met this young lady today for coffee. We were hitting it off. She wasn't even scared off by learning I'm an anarchist.
Yay! Wow.
But when sex came up in conversation, and I experienced an involuntary fear reaction, paused awkwardly and changed the subject almost without thinking. She noticed my discomfort, and our conversation got more awkward after that.
Aww.
I'm guessing that we should have those sitcom sounds where the audience goes, "Oh," and
"Yay!" Yeah, and then they clap.
Yeah. I'm guessing this is a situation where I have to sack up, be honest, make mistakes, get my heart hurt a few times, and I'll eventually get the hang of it. But I wanted to ask if you have any advice for overcoming this first hurdle of that automatic fear reaction. Oh, peace, love, and prosperity, a virgin voluntarist.
All right.
So you paused while I was finished. I thought I had finished reading and you were just quiet. And I'm all, oh, you wanted me to read the sign off.
Yes.
That is
good
a great,
job, Mike.
It's a great question.
My skill,
Thank you for having the courage to ask it.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. We definitely do empathize with you, question asker. Actually, the first time I read your question, I thought, oh, wow, what a great question. Because the thing you said about the defense mechanisms that you developed as a result of the abuse that you suffered in school, I just that really resonated with me personally, because I feel like I had kind of a similar experience, and I've totally been there. Just the feeling of not fitting in, awkwardness, especially about romantic relationships, and the feeling of, oh my gosh, am I the only one who's a virgin in this room, or am I the only one who has never been in a real relationship? Or I think everyone feels that at some point or another. What do you think, Mike?
I probably most people feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a really good insight that you had about developing this stuff as a defense mechanism that, you know, may have worked to kind of ward off some of this abuse in way back in government school, but maybe doesn't work now.
Or, well, first of all, old habits do die hard. So
yeah.
If you've got an ingrained subconscious practice of being antisocial or whatever it is as mm-hmm. a defense mechanism, no matter how hard you want to or try, it's going to take a lot of effort or a lot of time to get out of that habit.
Yeah, I think so. And, well, you said unconscious, Mike, and of course it starts out as unconscious,
right.
But it sounds like he's actually making an effort
yes.
to bring it into his consciousness.
And he also said that
that's
kind
the
of,
first step. In,
right, and he also said that kind of armor, good word,
yeah.
Ill suits him now. And that means to me that he's very conscious of it as armor from the past, and that he's changed enough that he doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah, or he's in a different situation where
right.
he's away from the
right.
users
he either,
in his life.
He just doesn't care that people are going to make fun of him, or I guess that's it. You know, maybe he's realized that some people are going to make fun of him and it doesn't affect him, and so he doesn't want this defense mechanism anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
It's worth mentioning very briefly that, and we've said it before in episodes, that when you're forced to be in an environment with other people who are forced to be there,
ugh.
There's not going to be a lot of happy people. There's going to be, you know, arguing and emotions and bullying.
And not only are you forced to be there, but everything around you is forced. The teachers are treating you with this authoritarian demeanor. You have to raise your hand
to go to the bathroom to speak
the most basic human functions.
So
nobody there wants to be there,
right.
but they're forced to be there. And everyone is forced to pay for it by taxation.
Right. So when you're surrounded with all that aggression, all that force, there's going to be unhappy people. And so
people are going to want to repeat that aggression on other people that they see, namely the other kids.
That's another habit that's hard to break.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying that our question, that the virgin voluntarist is aggressive. I'm saying that's the environment he was in.
Mm.
Okay.
No, it's true. I mean, even I remember as a kid being bullied a lot that, you know, I would look for kids that who were maybe even more unpopular than me. I mean, like, I was pretty unpopular, but but you know, I didn't really want to befriend anyone who I saw as, like, lower on the totem pole than me, because it would, I don't know, diminish my coolness or something like that. Now, it's been a long time, and I'm really glad to be out of there, but yeah, I mean, that's just the culture that people are steeped in when they're in government schools. It's like, eat or be eaten, basically, and you end up like perpetuating this cycle of abuse, and everybody takes part in it. It's really sick, which is why we need to end government schools. So go to School Sucks.
School Sucks Podcast. Yeah. com, right?
Yes. And I think we link to that like every show, but it's so important, especially for the stuff that we talk about. I mean, a lot of this trauma has its roots in origins in the government schools.
Okay. I think we're ready to go on with this question, but I want to say that we had about 30 or 35 questions, and the reason I picked this one is because...
30? 35?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason that I picked this question is because he says, you know, he's a virgin, and that is just such an important issue, I think we need to talk about it. Okay, wait, none of that is true. Who cares if you haven't had sex yet? Every single human has not had sex until they've had it. It's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, I think we talked about this.
I'm not trying to make fun of you, Virgin Voluntarius. I'm saying I guess no. We'll talk about this more.
No, you're right, Mike. I'm glad you cleared that up, that you're not trying to make fun of him. Because, no, we're not. But honestly, I think a lot of people, especially in culture that we're steeped in and stewing in all day, people make this incredibly big deal out of having sexual intercourse for the first time.
I did.
I did too, for sure. And the ironic thing is that a lot of teenagers in this culture will do other sex acts besides vaginal intercourse and think that they're not virgins, or think that they are virgins.
They've had anal, they've had oral.
Yeah, they've all this other stuff. And it's very similar. I mean, it's just not that big a deal. I mean, are you not a virgin once you've kissed someone? What about third base? What about oral sex?
Yeah.
What about, you know, what about same sex partners versus opposite sex partners?
Right.
It's just, how do you define virginity? There's really no way to define it. And I think that it's just another activity. I mean, the origins of people making such a big deal out of this are fundamentally religious in nature. And it sounds like puritanical.
Puritanical, that's it.
Yeah. It is for religious reasons, because when a man and a woman have sex, they can make babies and you're supposed to save that for procreation and yada, yada, yada.
but if there weren't the guilt behind it, I mean, were you ever this nervous for the first time you talked to a girl?
Yeah. No. Or how about kissing a girl, or about going on a date, which you sounds like you did the other day from your question.
And you might have been nervous, but not apparently so nervous that you involuntarily have a fear reaction, pause awkwardly and change the subject.
Well, yeah, that's what he said happened in his question. But it sounded like things were going pretty well on this date. And I mean, it's just kind of worth pointing out that people can make a really big deal out of things in their mind that aren't really such a huge deal in real life.
And think about it this way.
And once you do it, you'll be like, that was not a big deal.
Or you'll love it and have it a lot. But I think what he'll think is not a big deal afterwards is all the stress.
Yeah.
Like, let's say he's 20 years old now. I have no idea how. Oh, he's 24.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 24 years old, and let's say he doesn't have sex with this woman, and he goes on a few more dates in the next few years and has sex with someone by the time he's 30.
Okay.
Okay? So when he's 35, he's going to remember sending a question to Pork Therapy 10 years prior and say, my God, why was I nervous about having sex? My God. I've had sex so many times, and I love having sex with my girlfriend at the moment, or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Just, it's so unimportant after the fact, but so important before the fact.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's just so, it's a natural part of life.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone has, I'm not going to be gross here, but everyone has all different kinds of bodily functions. You know, some of them people do talk about, and some of them people don't talk about. But the ones that people don't talk about seem to be such a big deal. And they're not. They're just biology, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that everyone does. And your parents did it, or else you wouldn't be here,
right?
You know, I mean,
admittedly, I don't want to think about my parents doing it, though.
No, neither do I. I don't want to think about your parents doing it. My parents, on the other hand, I'm just kidding.
I want to think about my parents doing it with your parents?
No. Oh, God. Okay, you succeeded in grossing me out. Yeah, but the point is that it's just a natural function.
Yeah.
Everyone does it. There's no reason to be afraid. If you can realize that, and not only realize how not a big deal it is, but also have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
So then I think it just becomes non-threatening.
I think that's pretty much the key, is to somehow convince yourself that it's not a big deal so you won't stress about it.
Yeah.
Now that we can say it super easily, but doing that's really tough because how do you...
He's probably blushing listening to us right now.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just how do you tell yourself something that's so important to you that you sought assistance with it is just not that important.
Yeah.
And it's real hard, but he might not be able to do it until after he has sex and looks back, but
we can say like we're not minimizing his problems at all, and we empathize with it because we've both been there, right, Mike? Like we said that before on the show.
I mean, before I had sex for the first time last week,
who was the lucky lady?
Lady? There was a lady involved? Okay.
Anyway, excuse Mike.
But I do empathize. I was there, but you know, when I was a virgin. So what?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. What are some ways
that he can help himself relax about this topic? Now, you have a story.
Yes.
Okay.
which story was I told like three stories before the show, and they were all really embarrassing, and I can't decide which one Mike wants me to tell on the air. Oh, okay. Okay, this is about to get real personal. Are you ready?
You don't have to name names, Stephanie.
I will not name names except for my own. I'm protecting the innocent here. Okay, so I had an awkward experience basically where a friend saw me mostly naked recently. And
with a sports bra, but without nothing else. Had to.
Thank
had to
you,
do it.
Mike, for that visual. Boy,
to do it anyway,
we're going to get all these questions saying, "Well, why was she wearing a sports bra and nothing else?"
She was in her own home and didn't know someone else was there. Come on, people.
Yeah, basically that's what happened. It was in my house. I was like just rocking out by myself, yeah. And
it's not like she.
I thought I was alone.
It's
but
not
I wasn't
like she
alone.
Waters the plants and cooks bacon wearing a sports bra and nothing else. She happened to just wake up. But
that's
anyway,
an awfully specific example.
So what was the point of this story?
The point of the story was that this was like. My relationship with this person had never, like, been in that realm before. It was, like, a completely, like, boundary-crushing experience. And so it was embarrassing. Like, it was like, this is not, you know, this is not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened, and there was nothing I could do to go back in time and erase it. But it happened, and I just laughed about it. And, I was a little embarrassed, but I laughed, and time went on, and it became just funny. Yeah. It wasn't awkward. So the point that I'm trying to make with that story is that things are only awkward if you make them.
And
it seems like you realized this, question asker. I mean, you said that I'm guessing I'll have to just be honest and make mistakes and eventually you'll get the hang of it. Well, yeah, part of it is just kind of having those experiences. And I think the key to handling them successfully is just to realize, hey, this is not a big deal. You know, everybody, this person, while she may seem like, oh, this is somebody I would never want to be embarrassed of in front of, I couldn't even think such an awkward moment would come up. Well, this person farts every day. You know, this person has bodily functions too.
Girls fart?
Yes, they do.
What? Can you prove that?
Not on command.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I agree.
It's just...
Take the act of having sex off a pedestal. Right?
Yeah. It's
just
it happens every day. It's happening around the world.
It's happening
all
right
the time.
Now as we speak.
Yes,
and I don't even
in the
mean
pork
just between
studio.
Us, right?
Just kidding. It's really not.
I wouldn't be talking so much.
Oh, right. Yeah. You need to concentrate.
And you'll have sex. That's pretty much the end of the story.
Yes,
you're going to have sex sooner
have
or later.
Sex.
So just don't let that, you know.
Yes. Now I have to tell us.
Okay. Okay.
We'll finish your thought, Mike. No. Okay. Okay. So. One of the things that that made me like so not embarrassed about talking about body parts and sex and things like that was just taking an anatomy course. Because when you see a giant projector screen full of someone's private parts with like arrows pointing to each one and saying
and
what
you're
the
in a room of
100 technical anatomical name of it is, and you know there are all kinds of people there that you don't, you know, they're your colleagues and you don't think
or
of them
or strangers,
total strangers, yeah. it's just you just realize that hey, I'm gonna have to name this body part in front of all kinds of people. You know, it's just not a big deal. It may have been something that was really awkward the first time you heard it. The second time it was a little less awkward, and the third time it was funny, and then the fourth time it was, it got old. You know,
yeah.
It's not even funny after a while because it's just so mundane. So my advice is to kind of
practice,
I guess, desensitize yourself or practice by talking about this stuff with your friends. You know, crack a few off-color jokes if you feel like it.
I think that's good advice, but I'm not sure if talking about sex is a problem for him.
I don't know. It sounded like it was because he was with this. He describes a situation where he's on a date, basically going out for coffee with this girl,
sex
and they're talking about anarchy, which is something, by the way, that it sounds like you were very comfortable talking about this question asker.
That's interesting.
I mean, that's a very difficult thing for some people to talk about because
that's
they
not
just
a social norm.
Sometimes get vilified by fellow slaves, you know, for being.
And you weren't
a free, independent thinker.
About being the rebel, being the outlier.
Yeah, being kind of a black sheep to some extent.
And it worked in your favor.
But then when sex came up, it was like this taboo just kicked in.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
so the taboo was gone for talking about voluntarism or anarchism or whatever. but it was still in place for sex. And you can get rid of that probably the same way that you got rid of your anarchy taboo, right? By just talking about it and continuing
getting used to it, to
get it out there, to read about it, to listen to podcasts about it. So one thing that may help is education, right? Like there are some great kind of like clinical style websites that about like sex education that he could probably check out, you know, that might be kind of empowering and make it seem like just not a big deal to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because he's knowledgeable. Like I'm sure he said he's on this kind of journey of self-discovery. He's like in self-improvement and he's interested in libertarian philosophy, as he puts it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is clearly something that you've read a lot about and you're listening to podcasts and you're spending some time in engaging yourself with these ideas. So do the same thing about human sexuality. Just read about it, you know, study it. It's fun, right? Everybody loves to read about sex and educate themselves about it.
In different ways.
In different ways, yeah. I'm not saying to watch porn. I'm just saying, like, I mean, of course, that's fine if he wants to do that. But I'm just saying, you know, get a handle on it like you have with the ideas of liberty. Just become more comfortable with it by reading about
it. I'd recommend not watching porn, by the way, as a way to get used to it.
Oh, yeah, that's not sex ed.
That's
going to
set up some expectations that will never be met and make you more nervous and anxious, and it's not going to be helpful.
Yeah, although I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who watch porn, but, I mean...
I'm not anti-porn. I'm anti-porn in this situation.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, I think if anybody is listening to this and... you know, they watch porn, like, that's fine, whatever. Just realize that often it's very dissimilar to real life.
Yes.
Right?
That's a very understated...
understatement.
Understated way to put that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway, so...
So, you're right. One of his last statements in this question is, I have to be honest, make mistakes, and get my heart hurt a few times. Well... always be honest, in my opinion. Yes, you'll make some mistakes.
Sure.
Everyone always makes mistakes. Not always. Everyone makes mistakes all the time.
Yes.
And learn from them is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so what? You're going to make mistakes. Good for you for being brave enough to try. That's how you progress.
Yes. And you don't need to get your heart
hurt.
Like,
that's where I was going.
You will. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was going to say.
You go,
Mike. Your heart might get hurt, but you might, with the very first person you meet a woman who's also an anarchist and... wants to have sex with you and
it'll happen and you'll be like, oh my goodness,
we can have a great time or whatever it is.
Right.
You might not get your heart broken.
And then you'll say, oh my gosh, you're going to write us another email and say, wow, it was not a big deal.
Yeah. In fact, follow up.
Yeah. I would be curious to hear the follow up. One thing that he kind of picked up on with this question was that his awkwardness about this was kind of like a little bit of a girl repellent, because he says she noticed my discomfort and then our conversation got awkward.
Yeah.
Well, part of that is her fault for becoming awkward, right? Like, as we said before, nothing is awkward unless you make it.
Yeah,
so she
could
have laughed it off and, you know, it wouldn't have been so bad. But
or she could have just asked.
Oh, yeah. Instead or she could have brought a serious conversation up about it. Sure. But you have that power too, question asker. You have the power to turn something that could be potentially awkward into something that's not awkward at all. I mean, heck, on this show, we've talked about a lot of moments in our lives that we thought could be awkward. Remember, like that...
I'm about to talk about another one.
Okay, what is that?
Downward spirals. So, if you, specifically with sex, if you're a male, and you start thinking of...
Oh, no.
And you start thinking of how you're not going to be able to satisfy this woman, or... you're not going to be good enough, or you're not going to be good at sex, or whatever.
Start creeping in.
And then you suddenly can't get an erection, and you're in the, you know, your guys are making out.
And then you go into panic mode.
Yeah, and then you say, oh my God, what can I do to get an erection? And then it gets worse, because then you're not even thinking about sex anymore. That's called a downward spiral, and I've been there, and it sucks. Your own reaction causes a worse thing to react to.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like self-perpetuating.
Right, self-perpetuating. Yeah. So
you're
going to
bust out of that cycle.
Right, so I think you already realize it, but... I think what you need to know is that being nervous about something that just has to happen is not going to help.
Yeah, although I could hear someone saying, well, okay, well, how do I get myself unnervous?
Yeah, and maybe you can't. Maybe you're going to be nervous. You just have to realize, meh, so what? So I'm nervous, and maybe this sex episode won't be great. So what? Maybe it'll be great.
I think we've said all we want to say, right, Mike? Or have you said everything?
No, that should do it.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Thank
I hope your next date with coffee shop anarchist girl is good and fun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm jealous. I want to go out for coffee with an anarchist girl. So, let us know how it goes, and good luck, and please send us a follow-up. Let us know how this turns out.
Indeed.
And thanks a lot
for
the question.
Thanks for asking. If you other listeners have a question, you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
And you can also call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Right.
Right, Mike?
That's right.
That's it? That's our number.
All right. thanks for listening.
Yes, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatterly debop, shabadooey.